Reading from Luke chapter 6, a very famous passage. And Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted his eyes up on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. And woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. And woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. And woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets."
Thank you very much, Graham. Thank you for the word. And so now we're going to call on Pastor John to give us the sermon for today. And I just want, as he comes forward, for us to pray for him. Come on, Pastor. Let's stretch our hands and bless him now. So, Lord, we just want to thank you for your son as he brings your word this morning. Lord, we pray that, God, he will be an oracle and a vessel in your hands. And that, Lord, you will anoint his voice, O God, and anoint the words that he speaks. And Father, we pray that, O Lord, King of glory, the power of God will go with the word that he's sharing this morning, God, in the name of Jesus. Pray that, God, that even as he's speaking, his ears will be receiving. And Lord, he will not be, O Father, left out at the blessing of today. Thank you so much. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you so much, Nkechi. It was really lovely to have Graham reading the reading today, and so lovely to see Graham and Liz back in church after a long time away as a result of the pandemic. And I know also you've given up driving, so it's great to see you here today, and to see others as well here. And it's so good, isn't it, to be back here in the heart of Burngreave. So we praise God for what he has done. And we give thanks and we give glory to his name. The last time, if you come here regularly, you've been watching regularly on Facebook or YouTube, you'll know that when I preach, when it's not a special occasion like Easter, then I'm preaching through the Gospel of Luke. And the last time I spoke from the Gospel of Luke, under this title of Jesus is for Everyone, I spoke about don't hold on to the past when Jesus is doing something new. At the end of chapter 5. And today, I want to speak about experiencing God's blessings in tough times. Experiencing God's blessing in tough times, verses 17 to 26, those verses that Graham just read to us. Jesus' teaching in Luke chapter 6 is really radical, and we sometimes forget how radical Jesus' teaching was. Jesus takes the principles of the world's understanding of blessings and curses and turns them completely upside down in these verses. In these verses, Jesus teaches us that if you are poor, if you are hungry, if you are weeping, if you are hated, if you are insulted, you are blessed. But if you are rich, if you are well-fed, if you are laughing, if you are popular, if you are respected, you are cursed. And that's the complete opposite, isn't it, of what we are used to. particularly in the West, particularly in the first world. Because everything in our society, everything in our media, everything in our whole culture says that having plenty of money and plenty of food and enjoying a good laugh and being popular and respected by others are the most important things in life. That's what society tells us. People who have those things are the blessed people, the happy people, the fulfilled people, and we are taught to aspire to have those things. And that is why the false gospel, because that's what it is, the false gospel of health, wealth, and prosperity is so attractive and popular in our world today. Surely, being healthy, being wealthy, being prosperous are a sign of God's blessing. But Jesus teaches the opposite here in Luke 6. Jesus says you are cursed if you have those things, but you are blessed if you are poor, if you are hungry, if you are weeping, if you are hated and despised. And in these verses, Jesus is talking and speaking to a large crowd of disciples. He's speaking to people who were his followers. They had seen, they had witnessed, they had experienced the mighty power of God. And we read that in those opening verses. They've experienced deliverance from demons. They've seen and witnessed healings. They had seen and maybe sometimes experienced personally his power at work in them and around them. They had experienced the transforming power of God in their lives. They believed in Jesus. They had been born again. They were disciples of Jesus. But most of them were ordinary people, ordinary sinners. They weren't rich. They weren't prosperous. They weren't powerful. They weren't popular or respected necessarily. They were very familiar with poverty, with hunger, with sickness, with death, with grief. They were very used to being despised and hated by others. And the point that Jesus is making is that they would be going back to that life after their encounter with Jesus. Their poverty and their physical hunger, being oppressed and being despised, would not magically disappear because they had encountered Jesus. They were going back to a life that others would call cursed. The rich and prosperous, the religious leaders, the Romans, all despised and oppressed and exploited ordinary Jewish people in Jesus' day, the ordinary poor people, the sinners that Jesus loved to share his good news with. The ordinary people that may have had a powerful encounter with Jesus, the Son of God, but they would be going back to the hard grind of poverty, of hunger, of death and grief, being despised and mistreated. And then that reminds us of two important Christian principles today. Don't believe people who say, come to Jesus and all your problems will go away. Jesus never ever taught that. He never ever taught that. And it's a lie. You know, becoming a Christian is not like winning the lottery. Do you realize that? Jesus doesn't promise to transform your economic and social status when you become a Christian. Jesus promises you his presence with you and within you, whatever your circumstances. He promises you his forgiveness and a new start. He promises us a new relationship with God. He promises us the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. He promises us a totally transformed eternity, which is far better than any lottery winnings could ever buy. So he's looking to that future in that sense. And Jesus promises we will experience his blessings in the tough realities of life and death. Jesus doesn't promise ever to zap us out of the realities of the daily lives that we live. And the second thing is, as Christians, we need to be very careful not to despise, not to oppress, not to take advantage of the poor and needy people around us. Whatever background, whatever nationality, whatever color, if they are Christians, they may be poor, they may be needy, they may be vulnerable, but they are a child of God. They are a prince and a princess of the King of Kings. And if you are despising them, if you are oppressing them, if you are taking advantage of them, you are despising Jesus himself on them. You are oppressing and treating Jesus himself badly, and you will bring God's judgment on yourself. You know, it should grieve all of us, shouldn't it? That as Christians and churches in the past have justified being involved in the oppression of the poor, have been justified being involved in things like the slave trade and racism and injustice. And we're fools if we think the oppression of the poor is something of the past, because it's happening today, isn't it? And it can be there in your attitudes. It can be there in my attitudes as well. And we are called to examine our hearts and where those attitudes are. We need to repent of those attitudes. It's something of what Jesus is saying in these verses. You know, it's so damaging, isn't it? So grieving that the name of Jesus, the name of Christianity, the name of the church is being damaged so much right now by the leaders of the Russian Orthodox Church, who are fully supporting and motivating Putin in the bloody oppression and murder of the Ukrainian people. And it's being claimed to be done in the name of Jesus. That should grieve us. That should grieve us. And it shows us how easily it is, or how easy it is, for nationalism and oppression to creep in to the message of the church. But it is never the message of Jesus himself, praise God. May we never individually or as a church be involved in despising and oppressing the poor, the hungry, the homeless, the needy, the bereaved. It's why I'm so thrilled that as a church we're feeding 6,000 people a year through the food bank. Why we're helping people in debt through the CAP debt centre, the Christians Against Poverty debt centre. Why we're involved in feeding the homeless at the Lighthouse Project. You know, we need as Christians to be involved in those projects, because we should never be involved in despising or oppressing the poor. Every person, rich or poor, powerful or vulnerable, is created in the image of God. Praise God. And we need to treat them in that way. And in Luke chapter 6, Jesus is speaking to his 12 disciples and others who have left everything to follow him, who have no permanent home, who are dependent on the charity of a group of women who supported Jesus' ministry. They had no money to call their own. When Jesus sent them out to minister, they were dependent on the hospitality of others. He told them not to take any money with them. Disciples who would later be despised and rejected and beaten and persecuted and even martyred after Jesus' ascension. In the world's eyes, those disciples were not blessed. They had nothing apart from their relationship with Jesus. But Jesus says, with your relationship with me, you are far more blessed than the richest, well-fed, laughing, most respected and honored billionaire. Praise God. That is the upside-down teaching of Jesus and the kingdom of God. And Jesus says to you and me today in 2022, if you have a powerful encounter with Jesus, the Son of God, if you are a true Christian, you are blessed by God, even though you may be going through tough times. You are blessed by God, even though you may be going through tough times. Even though you may be living in poverty. Even though you may be suffering hunger. Even though you may be going through grief. Even though you may be despised and mistreated. You are blessed by God because you have Jesus in your heart. Because you have a relationship with Jesus. In fact, those who have all the material blessings of health and wealth and prosperity and popularity, but don't know Jesus, are far worse off than you because they're cursed by God. That's what Jesus is saying. So let's look very briefly at these specific blessings in these verses. Jesus says, first of all, blessed. And that word blessed means happy or fulfilled. Blessed, happy, fulfilled are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And the Greek word for poor here means a desperate state of poverty where you are dependent on others for your survival. Jesus says, you are blessed even if you are in a desperate state of poverty. You may have nothing materially, but if you have a relationship with Jesus, the Son of God, the kingdom of God belongs to you. Praise God. You are a prince, a princess of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You will inherit all the wonders, all the beauty, all the glory of God's kingdom. Yours is the kingdom of God. Now, some of the happiest, most fulfilled people I have met are Christians who are desperately poor. I will never forget Beauty, the humble church cleaner we visited in Zambia. We visited her ruined shack in the African bush. She had virtually nothing. The tin roof of her wooden shack was held down by piles of worn tires to stop the roof blowing away. And there was no electricity. There was no gas. There was no running water. She doesn't have to worry about the rise in energy prices because she doesn't have any and use any energy. Her carbon footprint is very small indeed. But I want to say to you, she was one of the most joyful, happy, blessed Christians I've ever met in my life. Praise God. Why? Because she had Jesus. And she loved Jesus. And she worshipped Jesus. Jesus was her everything. And she loved walking the couple of miles into town to go to her church to worship her Jesus. And somehow or another, she was immaculately dressed. I've got no idea how she cleaned her beautiful clothes so beautifully. But she would go to church in her Sunday best, and she would be there worshiping and praising the Lord on a Sunday. And she loved to serve the Lord by cleaning, sweeping the church. Every day she would be down there cleaning and sweeping the church and then walking back home to that humble shack in the bush. You know, she loved Jesus. She had something that so many people don't have. And yet, materially, she had nothing. You know, I tell you, I'm looking forward to going to visit her mansion in the kingdom of heaven from my little terrace house somewhere in a back street there. You know, she's going to be there in a mansion, isn't she? You know, everyone knows about what I do, and I'll probably be in some terrace house somewhere or another. Trish will probably be in a better place, but, you know, and I'm looking forward to visiting people like that. Praise God. In contrast, I've known people who are super rich, and they are some of the unhappiest and saddest people I've ever met. They live stressful lives with broken relationships and addictions. And we see that, don't we, every day portrayed on the television and on social media. This week, I don't know whether you've seen it, but I mean, it's just so sad, so tragic. The sorry saga of the trial of Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. All these stories of abuses and addictions and everything else. People who everyone else says, I want to be like Johnny Depp. I want to be like Amber Heard. You know, I want to have that fame and that fortune and everything else. And yet you see the desperate brokenness, the desperate unhappiness, the desperate lack of fulfillment in their lives. You know, if you have Jesus but a poor, you are far more blessed than the super rich. You're far more blessed than the famous. You're far more blessed than any of the world's idols. Theirs may be the kingdom of earth, but yours is the kingdom of God, praise God. Yours is the kingdom of God. And then Jesus goes on and says, blessed are you who are hungry now, happy are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Jesus says, and it's pretty extreme, isn't it, his teaching. He's saying, even if you don't have enough food now, even if you go to sleep hungry every night, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you are blessed. And you will be satisfied. You will feast in the kingdom of God, praise God. And Jesus says, it's far worse to be full of food now and be cursed with the everlasting hunger because you do not have a relationship with Jesus. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount? Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. You know, if people followed that commandment, most of our mental health institutions would be empty, wouldn't they? Most of the stress in our society would be gone. Do not worry about your life. Oh, you know, I'm always worrying about my life. Do not worry about what you will eat. Oh, you know, the crisis, the food prices are going up. You know, how are we going to be able to afford to buy enough food to eat? You know, and you know, there might be a shortage of toilet rolls, so let's go out and buy every toilet roll that's around. You know, it's incredible, isn't it? Or drink, you know. Or about your body, what will you wear? How much time have you spent this last week looking on the sort of sites? Oh, that's nice clothes. And, you know, does that look good on me? You know, is that fashionable? And you get it and it doesn't look quite right, so you send it back and you get some more. And you know, it's, you know, and all this time you're spending on these things. And Jesus said, do not worry about what you will wear. It says, is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And you just look at some of the beautiful birds that are around. You know, I mean, the ones we get in Britain are pretty boring, a bit like the weather. But you go out to Africa or, you know, to the east or wherever, and, you know, you see just all these vibrant colours of the birds. A few years ago, I was able to go out to Brazil, and, you know, the toucans just flying about in the tops of the trees, you know, these multicoloured birds. You know, the beauty, you know, they don't worry about what they're going to wear. Because God has provided everything they need. And so Jesus says, so do not worry saying, what should we eat or what should we drink or what should we wear? For the pagans run after these things and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Praise God. Jesus says, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. And then Jesus goes on to say, blessed, happy, fulfilled are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And Jesus is saying, even if you're weeping because of the devastating circumstances in your life, If you have Jesus in your life, there will come a time when you will be filled with joy and laughter, praise God. But if you're laughing your way through life without Jesus, if you're sticking two fingers up at God and saying you don't want to follow him, you will end up weeping and mourning eternally. And Jesus is literally saying here, happy are those who are sad. Happy are the unhappy. And we can be happy because Jesus will be there with us in our suffering, in our pain, in our hurt. Jesus will not leave us to mourn and suffer on our own. You know, over the years, I've conducted well over 150 funeral services. I've been with people at the deepest and darkest moments of their lives. I've sat with the dying. I've had to tell people, I've had to break the news to people that their loved one has passed away. I've seen the pain, I've seen the devastation of grief. And I can tell you, it is only those who have a relationship with Jesus who in the midst of their grief, in the midst of their tears, and the grief and the tears are there, yes, 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 but it's only those who know Jesus who have that assurance that they will be reunited with their loved one. They are the only ones who have the assurance that death is not the end, praise God. That eternal life will be far better. That it will be a place of celebration and great joy. So Jesus says, blessed are you who weep now. Blessed are you who are going through a tough time now. For you shall laugh. Woe to you who laugh now. For you shall weep and mourn. And then finally Jesus says, blessed are you when people hate you, because your reward is great in heaven. He says in verse 22, blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. Jesus knew his disciples would be hated and persecuted and even martyred by the religious and secular authorities. And Jesus wanted them to know that despite this, they were the blessed ones. You know, it's far better to be hated and despised for following Jesus than to have everyone speaking well of you and being popular and respected but miss out on the kingdom of heaven. Today, hundreds of thousands, literally hundreds of thousands of Christians across the world are being persecuted for their faith in Jesus. Thousands are in prison. Many have been tortured. Many have been deprived of their homes, their job, proper food. And Jesus says they are blessed because their reward in heaven will be great, praise God. Jesus expected his followers to be persecuted for their faith in him. If you have never ever been persecuted for being a Christian, are you really a Christian? It's a challenging question, isn't it, in our Western worlds. You know, when we are mocked and ridiculed for being a Christian, when we are hated, when we are accused of being bigots and dogmatic because we hold to the teaching of the Bible, we are being persecuted, like Jesus. Jesus tells us not to be upset, not to be full of self-pity, not to fight back, but to rejoice and be glad. It says literally, leap for joy! Leap for joy! I've been persecuted for my Savior who died on the cross for me, who suffered, who was whipped and who was beaten. You know, Paul prays that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We tend to stop there. But it says being made conformable even unto his death. So that we may share in his sufferings in order that we may be glorified, that we may share in his glory. And Jesus is saying, leap for joy if you've been persecuted for him. because great will be your reward in heaven, because we're experiencing the same as Jesus, because persecution proves that we are living out our faith, because there will be great reward in heaven for those who have stood up for Jesus. Now, it's very important that we don't get persecuted for the wrong things. Some Christians get persecuted for being odd. And there's some very odd Christians about. There really are. You know, if you go around, you know, wearing Jesus sandals the whole time and being incredibly old-fashioned and being judgmental about everyone else, you are likely to get persecuted. You're not necessarily getting persecuted for Jesus. You're just getting persecuted because you're very odd indeed and very strange. It's actually being persecuted for the name of Jesus, the honor of Jesus, for the truth of the Bible. And that's important because, you know, when we are persecuted for our faith, Jesus says there is great reward in heaven for those who have stood up for Jesus. Let's make sure that we make the stand on the right things. So Jesus said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. May each one of us experience God's blessing, God's presence with us in the tough times in our lives, in the times when we are not sure what's going on, in the times when we've lost loved ones, when we're going through the slough of despond or depression or discouragement or whatever circumstances we may be going through, when we haven't got enough money to keep the roof over our heads. Let us not despair, but let us know we're blessed because we've got Jesus in our hearts and Jesus in our souls, and that we will be blessed by God. Let's stand together, shall we? And I'll ask the worship team to come back, but let's just pray. Lord, we thank and we praise you, Lord, for your radical teaching. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, your teaching is very different from the world's teaching. Your philosophy of life is very different from the world's philosophy of life. Lord, I thank you for the upside down kingdom of God. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, your blessing is upon us. Lord, even if we are poor, even if we are hungry, even if we are despised, even if we are hated and persecuted, Lord, we thank you that, Lord, your blessing is upon us if we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that we can know your presence with us. Lord, in the toughest of times, Lord, help those, Lord, who are going through very tough times today. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would help them to look away from the circumstances and situations, to look away to you, Lord, to see your presence, your power, Lord, the comforting power and presence of the Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, coming alongside you, lifting you up, that you may know that your reward will be in heaven. Lord, Lord, that the blessing of God is upon us. Lord, we thank and we praise you, Lord, for your blessing and your favor. Lord, just touch our lives and touch the lives of your people here today, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.